My. Take your Bibles this morning. I want you to go to the book of Song of Solomon, please. Chapter number 4. The Song of Solomon, chapter number 4. I'm going to preach to you by the help of God on the Garden of Grace. I think you'll see what I'm saying here in just a minute in Song of Solomon, chapter number 4. And I want you, when you have found verse 12, to stand with me for the reading of the Word of God. Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse number 12. Watch this phrase. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse. A spring shut up, a fountain sealed. It's this first phrase I want you to underline in your Bible. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse. Father, I'm pleading for your help now. Close my mouth with my words. Open my heart and mouth with your words. In Jesus' name, amen. You be seated this morning. The Song of Solomon is an interesting book. It is a hard book sometimes to understand if you don't understand how, what, or where it was written. The book of the Song of Solomon was written by the wisest king, Solomon, the man that lived after King David, David's own son. Really, there are two ways whenever you read the Song of Solomon that you need to understand and read it. Number one, you need to read it literally. This is the literal story of a man with his wife. This is a literal story of a man and his love for his wife and the wife's love for her husband. I recommend to couples, whether just married, been married a long time, that you read the Song of Solomon at least one time a year together and allow the love story that God has written down. I said this at 8:45 and I want to say it again. The first institution that God ever made, before Jesus made the church and before he made the government, he made the home. He made the marriage. He made husband and wife. So if we know that the church has a way it's supposed to be run, and if we know that the government has a way that it's supposed to be run, then how many of us know that the marriage has a way that it is supposed to be run? Song of Solomon is that great love story. So there's the literal way. Number two, you've got to understand that this is a spiritual story. Everything, how many times have I said it to you? Everything from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22, it's about one man. And that one man is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Every jot, every tittle, every line, every verb, every adjective, every sentence, every paragraph, every up, every down, every high, every low, every mountain, every valley, every river, every mountain, every tree, everything, it is about Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And here in the Song of Solomon, you read the story of the king of Israel and his first love. That woman that he sees before she sees him. That woman that he lays his eyes on before she ever laid her eyes on him. And he decided, I want that woman to be my bride. I am reminded of the great king of Israel, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, who is not just a king, but he's the king. He's not just some king, but he's the only king. He's the high king of heaven. He's the high king of Israel. And he's the high king of my heart. Say amen right there. I'm telling you, he is the good God of eternity, and he is the king. You say, all right, if Jesus is the king, then who in Song of Solomon is his first love? Well, that is the church of Jesus Christ. Let me give it to you. You say, preacher, how do you know that? Well, the Bible tells us a couple things about this woman. The Bible tells us, number one, she is nameless. She does not have a name. She just has a description, just like the church. The church is not one man. The church is a many-membered body. We also find out that this woman is pursued by her husband. Aren't you glad Jesus Christ came looking for you before you went looking for him, honey? Say amen right there. Y'all gonna have to help me at 11 o'clock or I'm gonna pack his show up and I'm gonna take it to 6 o'clock tonight. Now, here's what I do know. Here's what it says. Look at verse number 12. So if Jesus is the king, then his spouse is who? The church. Well, then look at what it says in verse 12 about his spouse, his sister. That just means they're of kin. They love each other is what that means. It says she is like an enclosed garden. She is like a garden. Now, brothers and sisters, you and I both know I have a bad case of imagination and a bad case of OCD and a bad case of ADHD. So when my mind focuses on something, there's going to be something about it. So I got to looking at that. He uses a garden to describe his bride. So that means that you and I can be described by a garden, enclosed garden. That just means it's a garden with a locked gate. That means it's precious. It's special to me. Doesn't want anybody messing with it. So here's my question. What in the world does a garden have to do with the church or you and I? Well, last night I came home. I took my little boy on a little trip Thursday and Friday because he goes back to school this week, and I'll be out of town most of the week. So I took him on a little trip up to the Rednecks, New York City, went up to Pigeon Forge, and I took him up there. And so I went up there, and I came home last night at about 6:30. I pulled into the driveway, and I looked at my flower beds. Now, when we bought our house, it didn't have not a... I'm telling you, when I say it didn't have a flower, it did not even have a dandelion in the yard. There were no flowers. There was nothing in the yard. Now, I'm not a gardener. I'm not a gardener, but I like gardening more than I like golf. And every preacher I ever met, they say, now, preacher, you got to have a hobby to get your mind... I hate golfing. I think golfing is of the devil. Anybody that wants to chase a stupid ball down a stupid piece of grass 18 different times, you need your head examined, son. I'm telling you right now. They're almost as crazy as them fools that get out there in the woods with a gun looking for Bambi and his mama and his daddy to come by, sitting on a thing with a warmer up underneath. I think you're crippled too and you need help, but every man is on. So I can't cook, so I took up gardening. Now, I'm not a gardener. Now, keep your mouth closed. Ain't nothing wrong with gardening. Jesus was a gardener. He was a rose of Sharon and a lily of the valley. Keep it closed back there, Hoss. Now, I got to thinking about that. So when we didn't have not a stitch of flowers. Well, we scrimped all the money we could to put down a down payment on our house. And so we didn't have any money. So the second year we were in our house, I decided that I wanted a garden. I wanted some flower beds around our house. I wanted something that would make the house look beautiful from the outside and everything. So I decided one day, I said, we're going to put some flower beds in our house or outside the house. So we did. So I went and I killed the grass. I sprayed the area that needed to be killed, and I kindly mapped it out. I watched a whole lot of HGTV. I read Lawn and Garden. I didn't actually buy it. I was that guy at Lowe's that you see there at the counter while you're checking out. I'm reading the magazine. I was getting some ideas, Bob. And so anyways, I went and I got some ideas, and I killed the places that I wanted to put the flower beds. Well, I called my grandmother. Well, she's the only person I really knew that knew anything about gardening or about flower beds, and I knew she had a lot of flowers at her house, and I liked the way that they looked, so I called my grandmother. You know what my grandmother did? She did whatever grandmother did. Honey, it was not 2.5 hours, and if I'm lying, I'm dying. She rolled into my house. She looked like she just knocked off the lawn and garden section at your local Home Depot. I mean, she came in, the back seat was out of her truck, the back seat was gone, the middle seat was gone. That minivan was loaded top to bottom, front to back. I looked for my grandpa, they left him at Lowe's. I mean, they said, you wait here, and we'll be back for you here in just a little bit. I mean, they left him, they left the guy. So if I'm lying, I'm dying. They came trunk to, it was flowers out the yin yang. I tried to pay my grandma, and she said this. She said, no, I'm paying for the garden. Now, I'm preaching right now a whole lot better than you're listening, but I want you to hear this. She took the time. We got to work at about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. One, it was an afternoon in May on a Saturday. We went from 2 all the way to midnight. We planted, we sowed, we put, and I mean, she's telling me what to do. And I looked at her and I said, Granny, please let me pay you back for this. She said, no. She said, this is on my tab. I'm paying for it. Man, I honest. I got out there that next morning. I got up when the sun came up about 5:45, 6:15, somewhere around that time. I just looked at that beautiful. I mean, I looked at those flowers. I looked at the dew that had settled on those rosebuds. I looked at them petunias. I looked at them butter. I looked at it. I mean, it was a pretty. I never seen anything so beautiful. I went out there that afternoon. And you know how it is when you first plant a flower. I went out there and I'm researching how much water to put. I mean, I am taking just ever so good a care of this thing. I'm spraying it down. I'm lacing. I'm doing everything I can. I went out there the next morning, did the same thing. Next morning, did the same thing. Next morning, did the same thing. About 6 or 7 days after I went out there, the first time we planted, I went out there, and you'll never believe what I saw. Coming up through the pine needles was this little sprig of a weed. It was as if the Japanese had invaded Pearl Harbor again. Honey, I went and got my scissors. I went and got my gloves. I went and got a hacksaw. I got my 9mm because me and God and that pistol were going to do damage on whatever it was that was invading my beautiful garden. Man, I went out there and I plucked that bad boy up. I looked at that. I rubbed the soil back over, put the pine needles back. I came back the next day, the next morning, and you'll never believe. Not only was there one weed, there were two. Man, I was so mad, but I didn't take the 9mm this time. I just took the scissors. So I went out there. I uprooted those two plants. I went back out there the afternoon, and you'll never believe, there were three. Every time I plucked one up, it felt like four or five grew back up in its place. I got so mad. It was a battle for the next 3, 4, 5 weeks. I'd go out there, pull a weed, another weed pop up, pull a weed, another weed pop up, pull a weed, another weed would pop up. So finally, one afternoon in July, I went out there, and man, the flower beds had kindly grown up. I got so disgusted. I got so mad. I threw my stuff down. I said, I am through. I'm done wasting my time. What's the use? And man, I went out there, and every day I went up, more weeds, until eventually the weeds had overgrown and overtaken the flowers. I pulled in one August afternoon to my house. I pulled up my driveway, and as I was going up my driveway, I looked at what used to be a beautiful flower bed. I looked at what was supposed to be something wonderful. I looked at what was supposed to be something grand. I looked at something that was supposed to bring glory to the house. But I couldn't see the flowers. I couldn't see the plants. I couldn't see anything but weeds. But I realized very quickly those weeds had gotten out of my control. They'd gotten out of my grip. I needed to call in a professional. I needed to call in somebody who knew what they were doing. I needed to call in somebody who had some big guns and some big spraying and some big weeding and some big stuff. So, honey, I called in Oak Ridge Landscape Company. They came all the way down to McLeansville where I lived. They brought in a man. They brought in two guys. They brought in one guy, and then they brought in a little guy about yay tall. His name was Shorty. Son Shorty came out there. He got that weed eater. He started hacking away at those things. And honest, it looked like that stuff you thought he was throwing at. Those weeds were coming down so fast. He was doing damage to those weeds. He was knocking it out. And I'd say, don't touch that. He said, don't worry about it. I got it. He didn't knock not one flower down. He was knocking it out. They were uprooting. And he got done. And I said, dear God in heaven, this is beautiful. This is the way it's supposed to look. This is the way it's supposed to act. This is what it's supposed to be like. And they got it back to the original shape. Well, the fall came and summer came back around this year, and I made a determination. I said, I am not going to let this thing get out of control anymore. So yesterday when I pulled back up after being gone for 2 days, I pulled back up and I saw some weeds coming back through. And so my wife, she left. She took the kids. They went to go do something yesterday evening. And I got out there in my flower bed in my garden, and I started working. And the Holy Ghost spoke to my heart, and he brought this verse to my mind. He said, son, you and my church are just like a garden. He said, you're just like the garden. So, man, I got to thinking about it. I said, all right. So I went inside, got my iPhone, started talking to, taking some notes on the phone. And I got to thinking, how am I like a garden? Well, are you ready for this? How many of you know that you could not afford to change your life? You couldn't afford the ransom that was on your soul. But the heavenly gardener of heaven, Jesus Christ, came by your way. And he said, I'll pay the price. I'll plant the seed. I'll do the reaping. And I'll do the sowing. And God came to where you were. He sowed down the seeds of grace and the seeds of mercy, and he made you what you are, honey. He put you here. He did that in you. He wiped this out of you, wiped that sin out of you, forgave you of this. He forgave you of that. He changed this. And man, you were so excited. You were so glad you found a God that would love you, change you, keep you, and walk with you. You got so excited. You wake up every morning and take a fresh breath all the way down to your toenails, and you say, oh God, this is the greatest thing. But how many of you remember that first morning you woke up and realized, the weeds are back, and you thought, he just forgot an area. So you pulled a weed, you pulled a sin out. Man, you went to bed, you felt good. Oh, yes, but boy, you went back the next day, and now two have shot up. And the next day, three have shot up. And finally, you've gotten to the point where you just say, what is the use? And man, I'm finding that's where so many Christians, so many people get saved that I have seen. They get saved and they get in and they're excited and God's working and God's moving and God's operating and God's doing all of this stuff. And then they just don't understand, why am I still dealing with the weeds of life? Why am I still dealing with the weeds of my sin? And some of you just said, I throw my hands up. Man, the weeds have overtaken you again. But there may be somebody, let me just stop and take a moment and just say something right quick. There may be somebody here this morning and the weeds have gotten up and you drove in past your life and you're looking at yourself saying, nope, this is not the way it's supposed to be. God's supposed to have done something with me. God's supposed to have changed me. And the Holy Ghost of God is thumping on your heart saying, I can change you. I can give you a fresh start. I can give you a brand new way. Honey, aren't you glad that what God sows, when the weeds come up, he doesn't throw it away. Honey, I called in reinforcements that day. That little guy got out there, little shorty got out there. He said, I don't know you, Reverend. I don't know where you come from. He said, but I tell you, if you ever make it look like this again, I never come back to your house ever again. I said, shorty, honey, if you'll just give me a little mercy, if you'll just have a little grace. Shorty got so mad in the middle of rooting my flower beds out, he threw his shovel down. He went, he got in his truck and left. But honey, when he left, there was still one old boy that hung around, and that boy, he worked himself to the bone. Aren't you glad when mama walked out? Honey, I'm preaching right now. When daddy walked out, when everybody walked out, Jesus stayed in your life and he stayed in your soul and he said, I'll put in the work. I sowed the beds. I sowed the seed. I did it and I will stay until it's all cleaned up. And God's getting you right back to where you had. Aren't you glad you got a God that'll give you a clean slate? I mean, a clean flower bed. But brothers and sisters, this is my point. I don't want to just survive the Christian life. I don't want to go to bed every night and say, thank you, Jesus, I made it. I don't want to do that. I want to thrive in the Christian life. I don't want to go to bed every night and say, God, oh man, how did I make it? I want to go to bed every night and say, oh God, thank you that I was able to do something for you today. God, thank you that I was able to accomplish it. And I got to thinking, how in the world can I get from where I'm just surviving to thriving? How many of you know, my flower bed, I don't want it to look the same way in September that it did in April. I want it to have grown. I want it to have flourished. I want it to have gotten bigger and bigger and brighter and greater. And I want the flowers to bloom and the flowers to spread. So I got to thinking, what can I do? And I got to do some research on that thing. And I'm taking you somewhere. Just hold on. I'm taking you somewhere. Here's what I found out. You realize there's not one thing I can do to make a flower grow. Not a thing. There is not a thing in the world I can do to make a flower grow. You know what my job as a gardener is? Keep the weeds out. It's all I can do, son. I can't make the flowers grow. I can't make the buttercups cup up more. I can't make the petunias petun. I can't make the roses red. And I can't make the violets blue. But this is what I can do. I can keep the weeds out. I got to doing some research on weeds. Now, dear, this is what I found in our flower bed. I found that there's a bunch of them, but there's basically two types of weeds. You ready? There are weeds that start on the outside of the flower bed and work their way in. And then there are weeds that start inside of the flower beds and work their way up. So I got things that start on the outside and work their way in, and I got some weeds that start on the bottom side and work their way up. You realize sin and the weeds of the devil are just like that? You're either dealing with stuff that are on the outside working their way in, or on the inside working their way up. Let me give you a little illustration of that. There are these things in my yard. I don't know what I got. I don't know if it's chickweed, gross weed. It may be marijuana weed. I don't have any idea what it is. I just know it's not supposed to be there. And it gets in my flower bed. Do you know, girls, how it gets in my flower bed? These little things called runners. What that is it's not the root of the weed. These runners start at the weed and work their way into, and what they do is once they get into the, can I get any senior citizen ladies to say amen, because I'm telling the truth. Y'all know I'm telling it just like it is. Some of y'all are looking at me like a calf staring at a new gate. I'm telling you the truth right now. And so what they do is those runners worm their way into the flower bed. They get up, once they get under the surface, they root, and then they'll root again, and then keep shooting, and they'll root and shoot, and those are some of the hardest weeds to get out. Do you know why? Because every couple of inches, they take root again. And every couple of inches, they take root again. Honey, that's why preachers get up and Sunday school teachers get up and your mama and your daddy, they say, young people, old people, middle-aged people, watch what you put in front of your eyes, because those are runners. Those are not the problem, but they're connected to the problem. And once they get in and hit your mind, they go straight to your heart and they root down in your heart, and then they shoot off into another area and they root down again, and they shoot off in another area and they root down again. And then I found out that there are certain weeds, Brother Bob, that are just there and they shoot up. I'd look at some of those things and I'd say, where in the world is it coming from? I'd say it's not connected to a runner. So I asked my grandma one time. I said, Granny, I said, you gotta tell me, I got these weeds that just come out of nowhere. Nowhere. Where are they coming from? She said, well, son, they're always there because they're a part of that weedy soil. And that weedy soil has those weeds inside of it by nature. And there's no way to kill it on the beginning. It's just as it appears, you've got to uproot it as soon as you see it. Because if you don't uproot it then, it will spread and it will germinate. So, man, I got in there. I was like Rambo waiting on one of those things to shoot up one morning. I got out there before the sun came up, and man, when the sun came up, it was almost as if that thing just popped out of the soil. I peeled that thing back and I just whoop. And you know what I found? The sooner you uproot it, the easier it is to uproot. That's why those thoughts that just come into your head, those evil thoughts, wicked thoughts, malicious thoughts, envious thoughts, they just come in. That's why right then you need to say, Jesus, I don't know where it came from, but I'm asking you to forgive me and get it out. And get it out right then and right there. Amen. So this is my whole story. I got all of that to get you right here to this point. You ready? Here's what I know. How do you keep the weeds out of the flower bed? This is what I can't understand. What is so dangerous about a weed? At first, nothing. But do you know what a weed will do? A weed will spread and it will get so close to that flower that it will take the nutrients from the good flour so that the good flour cannot grow, and it takes the nutrients and puts it into a thing that will never bear a rose or fruit at all. Let me tell you a story. One time when I first got married, we were at the church parsonage where I was the youth pastor. We didn't have any money. I've told you all that story before. But I needed some decor. Man, I needed something. Our house, it was so bland and so plain. We couldn't afford this and we couldn't afford that. But man, so I called my grandma. I said, Granny, I need some flowers. She brought me a bouquet of flowers. So I took them out there into the yard and I planted them into the yard, Bob. I planted that bouquet of flowers and it was beautiful. It was red, green, blue. It was so beautiful. I'd never seen anything like it. Everybody that would come by our house, I would say, oh, look at the beautiful flowers. Aren't they so pretty? And those people just kind of look at it and stare and keep on walking. I'd go out there every morning. I'd water those flowers. I'd go around and make sure everything was pretty around those flowers. I'd do everything I could to make sure. Man, I got to notice in one summer day, I went out there and the petals had started to fade a little bit. The petals had started to fade. They weren't wilting, but they were just fading. The blue was not as blue. The red was not as red. The green was not as green. The purple was not as purple. I watered it more. I thought I could water it more. I thought I could do more. I thought I could make that thing grow. I thought I could make the color come back. I called my grandma. I said, Granny, I said, I got to know. I said, why is it that these flowers aren't growing? She said, son, the reason those flowers aren't growing is because they're silk flowers and they're not real. She said, you're not supposed to water them. She said, they're just there for looks. They're just there to beautify, but they have no real substance and they're not the real deal. Do you know why so many people inside of the Church of Jesus Christ have such a terrible time with surviving in the Christian life and thriving in the Christian life? It's because you've got a silk religion, you've got a silk foundation, you've got a silk flower Christianity, and you do not have the real deal. You've never been born again. You've never trusted Christ as your Savior. You've never been washed in the blood. You thought, you know what? If I come to church, I'll make the blue blue. And if I read my Bible, I'll make the red red. And if I give a little money, I'll make the purple more purple. But honey, you can give money until the purple is purple, and you can come to church until the blue is blue, and you can join until you are purple, red, green, and blue, honey, but you'll never be a real fly. You know what it takes? It takes the heavenly gardener to put the seed of the Word of God down deep inside of your soul and germinate it with the Holy Ghost, and then it will bring forth life everlasting. So here's what I found. Now here's my whole message. God all said all that to get to this point. How do you keep the weeds out? How do you keep stuff out of your life? How do you keep your life so that God can flourish you and grow you? Here's how. Number one, I found there's two ways. Number one, spray. Spray. When Shorty came out there that day, and again, Shorty ain't that tall. But Bob on his back. Now look, I'd been out there spraying with that stuff you get at Lowe's, Roundup. You know, you pump that stuff and you got the little thing, give the carpal tunnel, trying to squeeze the trigger, get more of this junk out. So I mean, I'm out there pumping and spraying. And honestly, Shorty comes out there with a backpack and he looked like the Ghostbusters. I'd never seen anything like it. He's got this thing, Bob, and so help me, I have never seen a machine like this. It's called a backpack sprayer. He starts spraying. I mean, he's spraying, Dave. He is spraying and spraying and spraying. So you know what I did? I said, you know what? When it comes time to maintain my yard, come this Thanksgiving, I'm going to buy one of those backpack sprayers on sale at the after Thanksgiving sale. My wife can buy shoes. My wife can buy this and that. I'm going to buy me a backpack sprayer. So I went and I got a backpack sprayer. And son, you know what? I was not disappointed. Son, I strapped that thing on my back. I just want to see what it would do. I filled it up with water. I filled it up with some Dawn dish detergent. Honey, I was bathing the ducks when they would fly in the sky. I was shooting that stuff so high. I ain't never seen anything like it. So finally, I knew that in order to kill the weeds, I had to have a potent substance. Because if you don't have a powerful substance to kill the weeds, you won't do anything but make those weeds immune and make them big. So I called Billy. I said, Bill, I said, I need some help. I said, I need some stuff that will kill these weeds. He said, I got it. He said, I have got some stuff, son. He said, it will sterilize the soil. He said, nothing will grow. I said, that's what I want. Now, I don't think it was altogether legal what he gave me, but nevertheless, I put that stuff and I mixed it just like what he said. I mean, I mixed it identical to what he said. I put it in that backpack sprayer and I sprayed it on there. I found something out about that backpack sprayer. You can twist that nozzle and it'll spray wide and it'll spray straight. Now, I'm going somewhere, so just hold on. I sprayed that stuff, and as soon as I sprayed it, nothing happened. Nothing. I came out the next morning, still nothing. I came out 2 or 3 days later, and you know what I found? That stuff was slowly dying. You say, preacher, what is it that is so potent and so strong that it will kill the weeds in my life? Psalm 119, verse number 1, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy law. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be as a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth, honey, can I tell you what you need? You need a good dose of the Word of God in your soul every single day. You say, preacher, but I come to church. Yeah, you do. But do you know what church is? Church is that wide spray. That's where the preacher comes through, and I just kindly spray along the edges. I just kindly spray where I can see. But you and I both know I can't take that wide sprayer to every area of your life. You've got to take that same Word of God. You've got to twist the nozzle and get a focus spray and start popping the places off that the devil's raising up in your life and your flesh is raising up in your life. You say, preacher, I can't understand the Bible. I am absolutely calling your bluff on that. Hogwash, baloney, and anything Oscar Mayer makes, honey, that is baloney. If you can understand Tupac and Justin Bieber, you can understand a King James Bible, honey. You ought to read it Monday morning. You ought to put it on your iPhone and listen to it on the way to work. You ought to get it on your lunch break instead of checking Facebook. Put your face in the book and let God spray your heart and God spray the weeds in your life and let God weed out the things in your life. Amen. You say, preacher, how do I read the Bible? It's simple. In the age of technology, we stand before God excuseless. Excuseless. You say, I can't read. You got a computer. You say, I don't know how to work it. You got grandkids. You see what I'm saying? We're excuseless before God.
That's right.
Miss Sloop, I found something out about my sprayer. Sometimes those weeds would wrap around the base of my plants. And I can't use my sprayer there because I'll kill the weed and the flower. So you know what I had to do? I had to roll my sleeve up, take my glove off, and I had to take my hand and I had to slowly unwind that weed, that runner. I had to slowly uproot those things that had gotten down at the base of that plant. And I had to work with my own hand. Oh, God. Son, I can be at my bed sometimes at night, and all of a sudden, I'll feel the Holy Ghost of God start unwinding the weeds in my soul. He'll start saying, son, did you remember you said that to so-and-so? Do you remember you said that to your wife? Do you remember you acted that way towards somebody? Do you remember that thought you had? And the Holy Ghost starts working in my heart, and he starts working in my life, and he starts doing, but you know what I'm so terrible about sometimes, Bob? I'll see a weed wrapped around a flower, and you know what I'll say? I'll say, oh, it's not that bad. I'll get it tomorrow. Wake up in a couple of days, and that flower has begun to die.
Yeah, that's good.
Am I preaching about it this morning? You know I'm telling the truth.
Amen.
And man, that flower's begun to die. And do you know what I have to do? I have to go, and I have to break off the dead piece.
Yeah.
And sometimes, boys, I have to go, and I have to pull the whole thing out of the ground. Now, if I was one of you about my garden, you know what you would do? You'd say, don't just kill the whole thing. And if I went to your house, I'd say the same thing, because I don't have invested in yours what you have invested in yours, and you don't have invested in mine what I have invested in mine. You see, if I was the devil, I would tell you, you know what, you're useless, you're through, you're worth nothing. I'll just kill the whole thing and be done with it. That's not what the Holy Ghost does. The Holy Ghost says, I paid for him, I paid for her with my blood, I bought them, I purchased them, I secured them, and I'm not going to kill the whole garden, but sometimes our sins have consequences, and so he'll uproot a part of you. But do you know what I did this past year, Bob? I uprooted a gardenia. I uprooted this gardenia, and when I uprooted it because it was dying, it left a hole in my soil. I asked my wife, I said, honey, I said, what do you think I ought to do with that hole? I don't want somebody falling and breaking their ankle in the hole. She said, well, just cover it up and we'll put pine needles over it. I called my grandmother. I said, Grand, I said, what do you think I ought to do with this hole? She said, this is what you ought to do. She said, I want you to take it and I want you to spray in the hole and kill all the remaining weeds. Brother Scott, I'm done. You can come play if you want to, brother. I'm done. You come spray all the remaining weeds. She said, then I want you to do this. She said, I want you to take some brand new potting soil. She said, I want you to put new soil in that wound, in that hole. She said, and you keep watering it. She said, don't plant anything, just water it. And cultivate it into the old soil with the new soil. She said, and then this coming fall, she said, you can take a brand new plant. Where you had to uproot the old, you can plant something new.
Amen.
Where the old was.
Amen.
You can't save the old. It's got to go. Because the weeds have done irreversible damage. She said, don't spend your time trying to reverse the course of the weeds. It's too late. She said, start. Dear God. Oh, God. She said, start spending time. Start spending time readying the soil for what you're going to plant next season. Stop trying to recover what the devil has already destroyed. There are consequences to our sin, and the weeds of sin have already done irreversible damage. Stop. The Holy Ghost has uprooted some of that stuff in your life. You know what you need to do? Say, Holy Ghost, there's a wound. There's a hole. Put new soil in. Put new soil in. And whatever you're getting ready to plant, God, teach me how to keep the weeds out of it. You say, preacher, does your flower bed look exactly like you want it to? Not yet. But I got a verse for you. He which hath begun a good work in me shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
No, it doesn't look like what I want it to yet. But brothers and sisters, I'm not done yet.
Yeah.
I'm not through. Give me some time. Give me some sunlight. And give me a few minutes. And it'll be exactly what I want. You say, preacher, I'm not what I want to be. No, you're not. But he which hath begun a good work in you shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Father, now Lord, I've done my very best. You know I'm so empty. God, you know I'm so empty. You know I have no power. You know I have no strength. Oh, God, I'm praying this morning, sweet Jesus, for the power of the Holy Ghost, that you'll take your word, and to the man or the woman that feels so empty, that feels so void, God, continue pruning. Continue planting. Continue changing. And I'll bless you for all that you do. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. What weed in your life has God said it's got to go, son? Daughter, it's got to go. It's got to go. It has to go. It can't stay. This morning, that was our invitation. What weed in your life? Let's stand together this morning. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Look at me. How many of you love Jesus this morning? God is good to us. Oh, God. Bob, come pray for us, my brother. Baby love, will you buy my lunch? You're not going to buy my lunch. Don't lie in front of God and everybody. Granny's going to cook it. Say amen right there. Dear, wait for me. I'm going to go to the back door with you. Brother Bob, grab that blue microphone or red microphone over there. Oh, God is so good, brothers and sisters. I'm going to let you go. I'm going to let you out early. You say it's 10 after 12. I thought about preaching at 12:30. Say amen right there. I was going to let you out. I'll let you out early. Brother Bob, can I just hug your neck? Just tell you I love you. Oh, God. Well, be back tonight at 6 o'clock. New members, at what time? 4:30. I love you all. God bless you, Brother Bob. You dismiss us in prayer. Amen.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, our hearts have been blessed this morning with the preaching of the Word of God. Lord, we can never thank you enough for removing sins out of our lives, Lord. And I thank you for the day that you saved us by your marvelous grace. I pray your blessings today upon each one that's been here that's heard this message. I ask, Lord, as we leave this place today, that truly we can say in our hearts, it was good to be in the house of the Lord. I pray you'll be with us tonight as we come back at the 6 o'clock hour. Be with our pastor, bless and use him tonight. Dismiss us now with your love, and we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Good day. God bless you.